Good morning. It's just nice being in the springtime. I love, now I feel more sore than I've ever felt before, because now that we don't have all these ministries to, you know, run here to and fro, I'm staying at home and doing the honey-do list, and my wife is hearing, and there's a huge honey-do list on that one, so I'm sore as can be. No, it's just nice organizing things. I think it's a good sabbatical to be home with your just getting things in order, and I hope you've taken advantage of that, that you've got off your phone. They do know social, not distancing, but social media has probably been used more than ever before, but sometimes I think we need to get off that and just interact with our families, interact with our homes, organize things in the home physically, emotionally, and just get things in order. Amen? Well, the very first week we talked about what's in your spiritual garden. I thought it was funny because I did get a lot of people that are still talking about. It was just an interesting study. If you like to get it, I do have it on a PDF. You can text me. I can send it to you through email. I give you my email address if you'd like it. Feel free to contact me through that. And but there was 9 different things that we have to worry about getting weeds. 1 is discord. 2 is strife. 3 is iniquity. 4 is thorns. 5 is our own way. 6 is wind. 7 is wickedness. 8 is degenerate. And vine, strange vines. 9 is wrong thoughts. Unfortunately, the results of fruitless trees and weeds will be plucked up by Jesus Christ. It's interesting, even at the end, if just to throw this in there, there's even a parable where they said, well, you have the tares and the wheat, and God said, let them both grow. And honestly, he gives you the choice. You can grow weeds, you can grow fruit, but the choice is ours. And he said at the end, he said, I will not pluck out the weeds or the tares to hurt the wheat. He even says that in that parable, which means he said, I'm going to let it both grow. And at the end, when the harvest comes, then I will be the judge. So a lot of times he does give us the choice. And we do have the choice, ultimately. God's not, I have never yet been forced to do anything by God, ever. On anything. I don't think I've ever had a gun to my head or a knife to my back where God just makes me do things. That's not the case with God. He works with love. You do it because you want to, because you love to. I just hope that you can take that seriously and really work at getting those weeds out and make it a passion. But there's also a passion of growing good things. So we want to plant, the first point, major point, is plant inward. You want to get rid of the weeds. 2, you want to grow quality fruits. We talked about fruits of righteousness, spiritual produce, delicious morsels of wisdom. It's sort of funny. Everything was normal until I did delicious morsels of wisdom. We could have just put wisdom, but I don't know why I put that there. Because I think we just live in a very... We have all the technology in the world, but there is such a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a lot of people... I mean, look at the way we live. We have knowledge at our fingertips with our phones. We have the ability to do anything we want, find anything we want, phone-wise, information-wise, but that does not need wisdom. It's sort of funny when it comes to all the technology that we have, yet we have more sexual transmitted diseases than ever. Yet we have more diseases that if you just live right, you don't have to worry about them. So that just tells you our society is not as wise as it once was, because those diseases are getting worse and worse. And, I mean, we could go into different areas, too. Honestly, stealing is higher than ever. I remember my dad, when he had his business, he literally, I think he said he had to put 3% increase on all his items because that was what was stealing, 3%. I guess it's now probably more like 5 and above, because our stealing is much worse now, 20 years later. So society, we have all the knowledge, but we're not wise. So definitely something you want to plant in your life. Good words. We always need better words and how we say it. Fruit of labor. four-letter dirty word, work, W-O-R-K. It takes work to be spiritual, takes work to even be physical. And everybody wants to be paid, but no one wants to work for their money. That is an old saying, but it is so true, and it's still true today. Everybody wants to get paid, but they don't want to work to get it. So, fruit of holiness, that is something we should really work on. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit for repentance. That's a repentive spirit. I just want to throw this in. I didn't have a lot of time. We have a lot of time on the next things. The last three, last week, I didn't really hit on. But the fruit of repentance is something interesting because David was repentive, but David was a sinner. I mean, he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But he was repentive, and God used him in a great way. Even all, if you notice, almost every good leader you ever seen in the Bible, even Peter, he always said the wrong things, but he was always repentive. If you go through history, this idea that you can live, we don't preach it, but we sometimes live it like we can have sinless perfection, because we don't want to talk about our sin, but yet we sin every day. It's that repentive attitude that really changes things. Because you're going to sin every day. You're going to do some horrible things you didn't want to do. There's going to be times when you have the choice to choose right and wrong, and you will choose wrong. Because that's human nature. The sad part is if you discount it and don't even repent over it and just say, hey, I'm human. Human is the heir. That is what God looks at. Okay, a just man falleth seven times but gets back up. I'm telling you that fruit of repentance is something that we just don't see a lot of people. They're not repentant towards things. I mean, even Peter repented many times as a disciple, and he kept doing the same thing over and over again. I think he would always say the wrong things, and then he'd say, you'd see him always somewhat repentive. I think it's not an irony that Jesus Christ asked him personally, how many times do you forgive your brother? Because it's it just doesn't happen once. It's your whole life. Fruit of peace. I love that verse. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's just something about fruit of peace, righteousness, sown in peace. Just sow some things in peaceful atmospheres. One thing I really love about even what's going on is America, for the most part, is a peaceful nation. I don't see us going out and rioting and destroying things for no reason. But there, I'm sure, is many countries right now that are shut down. They have no income. They have no ways to get anything. The government's not there really to help them. And I guarantee it is probably not a peaceful situation. So just to have peace is a big deal, and the fruit of peace, that's just one thing I can't say enough. Having peace in the home. I've heard way too much of just anger and just fathers flipping out thinking that's my right because I'm the father and I can do what I want. I'm a tyrant or I'm a military. I don't, whatever your attitude is, it's just not peaceful. People say, well, that's being soft. You're not a man. No, a man is peaceful. Some of the most meekest person on earth was Moses. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't like a world-renowned, No, he was probably very meek, probably not physically fit, and not one of these I'm a man's man kind of idea, but he was a man's man because he was peaceful. And the fruit of thanksgiving, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I don't think, I say this more than often, but I can't imagine how many people have taken God's name in vain in the time that I've just spent just doing the Sunday school lesson around the world. It is a universal name, swear word. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a universe. I've probably been close to 40 different countries, and I've heard his name taken in vain in every country. People do it, and they don't even know why they do it. Because I think that is the greatest name on earth. there is no greater, so that's why you see it all in the world and people use it as a swear word. You don't see, I don't go around and, oh, Buddha. No one even cares. Because we know that's not the greatest. But if you want to be angry, you want to be angry at the most highest you can think of. That's why God's name needs to be praised. And we need to give thanks to God. Shame on us if we don't pray before we eat. Shame on us if we don't pray together for certain things. It's just unthankful. There's nothing worse than a brat that's unthankful. You give them something and they and just run away, and you're like, you ungrateful child. I can only think of how we are in God's sight, ungrateful child, because we just don't thank Him. It's a beautiful day. I remember just getting up and before I went through lessons, just go outside and said, dear God, you make such a beautiful creation. Thank you. It's just nice. I enjoy the outside more than ever. I think I've always enjoyed the outside. I love it. But remember these things, the plant. But number two is plant yourself in church. This is a little harder to preach, especially since we're live streaming. But Psalms 92:13. I want you to understand every reference of sowing and planting has to do with the Old Testament. It's sort of interesting. Psalms 92:13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If you're going to plant yourself, there's one thing we had. You can't see this, but to the right, there's two trees. We had them in each corner. They were lights. You turn them on and just in case the lights are turned off, you have extra lighting. Those you can pick up and go, but I dare not. I mean, we have a huge tree that's probably about 80 years old, a maple tree. It's been there forever. They unfortunately only lived to 80, 100 years old, and I think it's finally getting to the point of starting to die off. And it's huge because it's probably about 5 foot in diameter. I dare anybody to come over to my house and just try to hug it and pull it out. Just try. I don't care who you are. You could probably come with an excavator on the bigger ones. You better have a big excavator to come and pluck it out, because it's hard to pluck out something that's planted through the years. The easiest thing, unfortunately, is I've seen many people, I've even led people to the Lord myself and tried to bring them into the church, but because they didn't get grounded in the church, they didn't make friends in the church, they still hung on to all their bad friends and all their bad everything else, and they just, I mean, the tree roots were not that deep, and as soon as something came, they just went. Plant yourself. Because Psalms 1:3, I love this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see those words? Planted. Psalms 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, the advantages, I just had a conversation with someone just recently. Well, they were talking about, they were giving their testimony, and I said, hey, you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, yeah, I got saved in jail, and it was, you know, a beautiful thing. And I said, well, what church you go to? Oh, I don't need to go to church. And I just, immediately, all these verses in the Bible, how can you be strong by yourself? We need each other. That's the one main thing is we need, the church is about people. It's not about this building. We're not in this building right now, but yet the church, our friends are together, because I know you've called, you text. And I would encourage that. If you think of someone, even the other day, I don't want to make one person better than another, but I thought it was interesting. Sharon Check just texted my wife and said, how are you doing? And it meant the world to my wife, Renee. And she said, how are you doing? We need to do that, teach it. That is the church. And when you're planted in it, that's your friends. And you're not going to be moved out. The sad part is through this coronavirus is how many of you listening are not going to come back to church because you don't need it because you're not planted. It's going to be interesting to see how many are planted. Yeah. Right now, yes, I can't go home. You know, I can't go to church. I have to stay home kind of idea. But those that are planted firm in the church, we'll see how firm they are because they come back. Because there's nothing I can do. Only God can convict you at this point. I can't even visit you. We're not even supposed to be going house to house. So we can't do much. The only thing that can keep the church together, which is amazing to think about, is God Himself. And this is a true test of just how powerful God is. Because you think about it, God's house, God's church is a miracle in itself. There's not one person in our church that has the same philosophy, the same, I know it says doctrine, but we all have different little beliefs. Like, well, I believe, we might all believe the same in tribulation and salvation, but we all have these little tiny things we believe. Like, I mean, I shouldn't even say this publicly, but there's probably some things like, I would say, well, the scripture says this because I've studied it different, but there's nothing worth arguing over. Where Pastor and I wouldn't even argue over it. I'm like, well, you know, I feel like that's what it's talking about, but it doesn't really matter. We all have those differences, and it's amazing the miracle of the church, how we can stay together. And not just philosophy, the age, everything, philosophy, doctrine, and I'm talking small little stuff, not the main doctrine is what keeps us together. Age, you got like 2-year-olds with 89-year-olds. It's a miracle, but it's a place to be planted in. I am thankful that I lived in a family that planted me in church. I don't think of anything else in my life. That is my life. Even someone asked me the other day, yeah, there's a man we do donations with, and he said, how did you ever get into the ministry? And I said, I really don't know. I said, I've always loved God. I don't give him the answer he wants. He wants the church thing. And I said, no, it's not about church. It's about God. I just like helping people. I love God, and I just want it. God's given me an avenue to do it. But I said, a lot of people can do more than me, even though they're full-time job. I said, it's just a privilege to be in the ministry. It's just an honor and a privilege. But that's because I don't know anything else. My parents planted me in a place where it's going to take a lot to get me out of church. And there's been many reasons. I've had many people go up to me and say, with all the problems we have in our church, and there is many, and I'm probably one of them, and like everything in life, I've had at least probably 5 people that said, why do you stay there with what you have to put up with? And I said, why would I go? There's no reason. And I'm not talking our staff. This is like missionaries that have told me that, because they were like, just the abuse from the people. And I said, that's just the way it is. I said, all you have to do is say one bad word or something, not a bad word, but something they disagree with, and they hate you. Not like, I don't know. God keeps us together, amen? But I still get planted in it. I mean, that tree in my backyard has probably seen so many rough weather, has seen so many snowstorms that have been 7-8 foot tall, but it's still there. It didn't say every time you get planted in the church and if something bad comes through, you just go away. When you're planted, you go through it all. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I love camp, but honestly, the pressure that comes from camp is like enormous. And sometimes I think every year, right before camp, I just want to go, I'm not doing it. I'm done. This is it. This is the last one I ever do. I'm sure Pastor does the same thing. Sometimes I just go, this is the last time I ever do this. But then God says, you're planted. And I'm like, yes, Lord, your will, not mine. Because we're planted. There's just planted. Another reference, Isaiah 61:3, and I love this reference. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, and we know this verse, but look for the phrase of planting. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's just something about it. God does all that. We always hit on what Jesus Christ will do for us. But God said, I'm doing it for you because you're going to be the planting. You're the seed. And I'm going to plant you and you're going to be strong. You're not going to waver. You're going to know what you believe, why you believe it. You're going to have a family that you're going to teach them why, how, not just what, why you believe it. Be planted. be planted inward, be plant yourself in the church. Here's another one. That's the second point. There's four parts to this. We finally got to the third part. It took 2 weeks to do the first part. 5 to 10 minutes to do the second part, to plant yourself in the church, and then plant outward. Now this one, I think we get confused on too much. I am a goal-oriented person. I like to do many goals. My wife was just telling me, said, I need to make a list of how many things you've done, because if I have time and I have motivation, I'm the kind of guy, like, I will be out there till 9, 10, 11, midnight, just to make sure it's done, because, hey, I can. That's just the way I am. People always say, well, why do you do this for the winter camp or the summer camp? Because I can. And that's my goal. Why do you do this why do you have to go out your way to do it? Because we can. Amen? There's a philosophy I heard many preachers say, if you can, you should. The problem is what sacrifice are you going to really do for what you can do, but you won't? Yeah, I could do that, but I just don't want to. Well, there's something about planting outward. Yes. You could stay home for the rest of your life. You could lead your children to the Lord. You could have a godly home. There's nothing against that. But if you can be a witness where you go and where you are, you should. Plant outward. The funny part is I've seen the oxymoron of it. I grew up in church my whole life. So I remember the 80s. I remember the emphasis on how many tracts did you give out, this and that. And we didn't even win our own. It was all about numbers. It was all about, like, how many did you have in church instead of who are you ministering to in your church? It was more like, what's your number? How many did you do this? How many did you do that? And that was the emphasis. I remember it well. I grew up in it. If you don't watch it, it's just a part of our life. It's not something I do, it's something I am. The plant outward is something I am. It's just part of my life. Everywhere I go, anything I do it for the Lord. I want to help people. I want to give them the gospel. I want them to be better Christians. If anything, I want them to hear the gospel and get saved. But the main thing about planting outward is be a soul winner. Plant the word of God. We understand this. But I love this verse, Psalms 126:5. Have compassion for souls. They that sow, there's that word, that agricultural word, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. How much compassion do you really have for people? I mean, I get convicted probably, maybe it's just me, I get convicted all the time when I don't say something I know I should have. Just the other day, someone was asking me questions about the ministry, and I always find a way to tell them about Lord Jesus Christ. And I just said, hey, it's all about God. It's not about me having a position in church, because that's what he was hitting on. Oh, do you love being a pastor and being a position in church? I'm like, no, that's not really what I did it for. I didn't do it for the power. I did it because I love God. I want to see people get, and that's what I told them. I want to see people hear the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, how I got saved, hopefully how you got saved. And he was like, oh yeah, I think, you know, because they're not used to that kind of conversation. Have compassion for people. I mean, I didn't steal his time. I didn't steal my boss's time. If your boss says no, there's other ways you can, everywhere you go. I think if Christians really took this to heart, that had compassion on people, we wouldn't just pick and choose. Okay, I like his personality, so I'm going to work on him. A lot of times, I don't like his personality. I'm definitely just leaving him alone. There's a lot of times where my personality does not work with someone else's personality, but God still said, you still need to have compassion on souls. There's nothing worse. See, I work with lots of donations, lots of money on donations. I get a lot of people that only want freebies from me, and they will use me to umpteenth. And it gets those kind of personalities, those just derides me because my dad was always work, work, work. And I'm giving all this free stuff and they won't even say thank you. And I'm just like, you know what? Those are the ones that need Jesus Christ just as much. That personality just drives me up a wall. But I have to always say, be peaceful. Be peaceful. Be a good testimony, a good witness. Do you have compassion for people? And number two, be faithful. Galatians 6, we know 7 through 9, but I'm going to say the whole version, all the verses. We'll use some of them later on. Galatians 6, 7 and 9 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now this is the phrase I would like to have you think about. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I think the biggest thing is we just need to be faithful at it. I find myself, we get so involved. I think the devil can give you so many, the pastor says all the time, good things, better things, but sometimes they're what's worse. The good and the better can be the problem for the best. And, I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with having birthday parties, I guess, for people and this and that. There's nothing wrong with those kind of things. But I find if we don't watch it, we can find some alternative thing to do instead of doing something spiritual. We can find, hey, I played sports. I understand that. But you got to understand, I lived in a family that, I mean, I was asked to be, I was just an average player. I still don't look at myself as anything good or best. Even pastor, even though he probably has more accolades than I ever did. But I still remember, we never played a game on Wednesday night. We never played a game on Sunday. I got invited to an all-star on the McDonald's team in baseball in Ohio for the state. And that was an honor because at 15, I was in a city league. I was averaging like 500, 600. And I was having fun. But they said the tournament, the all-star game is on Sunday all day. And it's a big ordeal and you're invited to it, Seth. And I remember telling, I didn't even tell my parents. I just said, I'm not doing it. And they were like, why? You're like our best player. And because I didn't do it. The other guy that from our other league didn't do it. And then before they knew it, our whole entire county didn't show up to the state thing. They're like, well, Seth didn't want to do it. But we're all 15-year-olds too. I mean, what did that matter? Be faithful. God didn't say, I don't even know how to say this correctly without offending someone. But there's nothing more. We will be judged according to what we do in this life and the next life. And I'm afraid to say so many times what I should have been doing, I was doing something else. When I should have been giving the gospel out, I'm doing something else or saying something else. Just be faithful. Hey, we live in a wicked world, but let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. Just keep being faithful. I know there's times when I go through my life and I look at when I was young, I was crazy. I did some crazy things. I mean, I just remember, I think I averaged over 100 on our bus route. We're talking 90s. For like a year and a half, 2 years, every single week. I had two buses. I don't know how I did that. But there was one time we had 160, I think we said it before. And I'm not doing that. I just remember I was crazy then. But then I also remember times when it's like you did all this work and you're just like looking around going, I don't know. There's just a few people here. I remember there was years where we'd have 75 teenagers. Like, I think one year we had at least 50 teenagers like five times in 1 year showing up to things. Now it's not the exact same. But I have not changed anything I've done. God brings increase. Just be faithful. I just keep giving out. You know, there's times when I remember reaching people, and they would come to church. He'd pick them up. And then the same time of same number of tracks and same number of everything, but yet we don't get the same. But it doesn't matter. I'm still faithful. For in due season, we shall reap. Just be part of a soul-winning program of some kind. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "Now that he that ministered seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." I love that verse because it says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown." Did you see what it's saying? It's saying corporately, when, you know, he that ministers seed, talking about, you know, the corporate thing, both minister bread for your food and multiplied your seed sown. When you're together, you can multiply it and increase the fruits of your righteousness when you work together. Yes, you can do a lot of things by yourself. You can get saved. You can every morning go out and look to the fields and go out by the trees and worship God. But there's something about, and I've seen this, you can have one person do the job. You put two people in it, sometimes gives you three times the strength. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. If you can. You can do things alone your whole entire life and say, "I don't need the church." But the church needs you. The church needs you. Be part of something. Problem is, if we want to do everything ourselves, because that's just the way we are built, and this coronavirus will definitely hype that up, where people are going to be like, "Well, I can just do whatever I want now and just listen to things and do things instead of being part of something." I would encourage you, as soon as this is over, be part of something. Be part of a church. Be part of a local church. If you can't be, then make one. God can give you that. But I want you to be part of something. Be part of a, not just a program, but be part of someone else doing something with, visiting with. Be part of someone. Don't do things alone. The worst thing you can do is do things alone. And of course, our fourth part, first part is, have compassion for souls, be faithful, be part of something, a team. And number four, soul win everywhere. A soul winner went out to sow a seed. We know Luke 8:5-8. We hit on what kind of ground are you. It's not important enough what kind of ground you are, but that the sower said he went out and just gave the seed out. Some went on good ground, some went on bad ground. You can look in Luke 8, Matthew 13, Mark 4. I don't want to go through all the verses. But the main part of that we never talk about much, the sower went out to throw out seed everywhere. We look at that and say, "Well, hey, let's see, what can we get the most out of?" God did not say that. God didn't say, "That's good ground, that's where you put the seed. And that's the only place you put the seed." There's a lot of times people question, why do you give out tracts? Why do you go to fairs and festivals? Why do you go to the Dunkirk Fair? Because I want every good, bad, ugly, everyone needs a chance. Well, we should find something that really brings in that. That's not what God said. God said, "Hey, the sower of the seed, just throw it out." But unfortunately, it goes on good ground and bad ground. Our problem is we want to choose what is good ground. We don't know what is good ground. The drug addict and the alcoholic, we always look at them as, "Oh, that's bad ground." But tell that to some people in our church that God has changed their life in. Because, see, God said that was the good ground. You thought it was bad. And this is worthless. And why are we even helping this person? Because, look, they're just a consumer and they're hooked on drugs and alcohol and they'll never make anything in life. Look at their family. But then, I don't know, some of you are together with your family. Look what God has done to you, but you know what you used to be. Aren't you glad that God's not like us that said, "Oh, I'm just going to choose the good ground. And that's all that I'm going to hit on. Oh, that person has money. Ooh, that person's pretty talented. Ooh." And I find that's what we do. We go after them. And we pursue them. When God said, throw it out on everything. Everywhere. And so many times, we don't even think about the drunk and the drugger and the person that's got emotional problems and everything else. See, some get saved, other times seed is sown. Point number five. John 4:37-37, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Hey, some are going to get saved, some are not. But I don't do things just because I get people saved. I don't say, okay, oh, I'm getting people saved there. I'm not getting people saved there. I love going to the nursing homes. Well, you don't see a lot of people get saved. I think they need the chance to get saved. I feel sad that probably when I go to the nursing home, I'm going to probably see, if we're allowed this year, probably lots of people that aren't going to be there. And these people died all alone. I don't think you'd want to die all alone. The ones in the nursing home can't even have people visit them. Right. And when they die, they literally die alone. And we're talking 80-year-olds, 9-year-olds spent a lot of time on this earth with a lot of relatives and loved ones, and they cannot even come and see them in their death. That's frightful. That's so frightful. The last time I was even at the nursing home, they specifically said, this one lady died, and can you help this person? Can you help this person? Can you talk to this? Can you pray? And we started talking about them, and a lot of them, oh, thank you so much. It's just, I needed that because there was no one there to console them. No one to give them peace. No one to give them hope. I cannot imagine how bad the nursing homes are now, because this is what is really killing. The coronavirus is killing the nursing home people, unfortunately. And we can't touch it now. We can't console them. You can go to a hospital as a pastor, but you can't even get into the nursing home. This is where they're really dying. But don't worry about the results of seed sown. Matthew 13:24-30. That's long. It's a parable. But 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We'll leave it there and we'll end with this. Number 7. We reap from other people's labor. I sent you to reap thereon. You have bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. I wanted to show you this. This is 1 month of prayer letters. This is 50% of the 150 missionaries have sent these prayer letters in. Many times you will labor into other people's labors. These are all that we support the last month. And these are all that we don't support in 1 month's time. I want to understand, if you want to invest in anything, reap in other men's things. I mean, I wasn't in PNG, but Justin is, and I could get behind him. I am not in Africa, but I know some that are in Africa that are doing the job. Get behind them. I want you to understand, this is just 1 month. There's probably, I don't know, I don't even want to start counting, because it's depressing how much I have to read and go through, and no one sees it. But I wanted you to see, there's so many people you can invest in. We can reap from other people's labor. And if you're not involved in missions, you should be. Because there is amazing stories here, one after another, and I could go through all these names of people, and every one of these we support, and just keep going all day. Here's one. Well, there's the one, you know, the missions to America. We just talked about him. Burton. Just keep sowing, amen? We'll end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, we thank you. Just help us to realize that we need to plant inward. We need to plant ourselves in church, but we also need to plant outward. And dear Lord, help us, as we'll probably finish up next week, and help us to realize there's so much we can get in other people, invest in other people's labors. And you were very, very, you emphasize that so much. Just help us. We love you. Thank you. In your name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.